2 Peter chapter 3, I'd just kind of like to summarize, not really what we've been teaching, but kind of now say, oh, because we know the Lord is soon returning, and because we know that possibly He would come in your lifetime or my lifetime, how should we be living now? And, well, we know, I think we know tonight that we should be living with eternity in view. In other words, this world should not be in our view for how we're going to live our lives. We should be thinking and looking into eternity. And, of course, we find that in the Word of God. We've taken several weeks to look into God's Word regarding the end times and prophecy. And I was telling someone earlier and wrote this down. Well, all I know is this. While there are some things about Bible prophecy that we are unsure of, maybe, we hear different opinions or interpretations, if you will, of Bible prophecy. I know that God knows exactly when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And I'm looking forward to being with the Lord forever. And I can't wait for that day. But until then, we have a job to do. I was talking to Brother Gord on Thanksgiving Day on Monday, and I said, well, another Thanksgiving, Brother Gord. And he said, yes, God still has something for me to do. He's 95 years old. What an attitude. God still has something for me to do. And that's for you tonight as well. Many people are greatly intrigued by the study of prophecy, and I do like to read into it and study into it. And it does have value. But I'll say this, if the study of prophecy and end times does not lead me to living more with eternity in view, then really it's kind of a waste of time. Because if knowing what's coming doesn't cause me now to want to live more like Christ, then I think it's in vain. I read in the Bible in Acts chapter number 1, I'll read it to you, we're going to be in 2 Peter. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 7, the Bible says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, I'm convicted tonight that Bible prophecy or end time study should equal or lead to one thing, and that is holier living. Holier living. That brings us to 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 11, where the Bible says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Think about that tonight. What manner of man, what manner of a lady, what manner of person ought we to be? Well, he says here, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the what? Coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, aren't we looking for the coming of the Lord? We are looking for the return of Christ. We are looking for the rapture. We're looking for the judgment seat of Christ. And we're looking for the new heaven and the new earth. He says, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without what? Spot and blame. It's one thing to be all emotional and excited about the coming of the Lord, but if it doesn't change my daily living, if it doesn't bring me to want to live closer to the Lord and be blameless and to be without spot, then I think we're missing something. In other words, I wrote this down this afternoon as I was jotting some things down. Biblical prophecy should lead me to be fully involved in the cause of Christ. Are you fully involved in the cause of Christ? Is there something that you should be more involved in the cause of Christ? Knowing that he's coming should cause me to be fully involved in the cause of Christ. Second thing I wrote down was this. Biblical prophecy should inspire us to, quote, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, end quote. I don't want the Lord to return and find me in love with the world. I don't want the Lord to return and find me in love with my sin. By the way, sin does have an appeal. It brings pleasure. The Bible tells us there's pleasure in sin for a season. I don't want the Lord to return and find me backslidden. Now, if he does, I'm still going to heaven. Amen. You're not losing your salvation if you're backslidden. We don't believe that's biblical. But I don't want the Lord to find me away from him when he returns. I don't want the Lord to find me not living for him. Biblical prophecy should challenge me and should challenge you to be more committed. Now there's a word, amen? Commitment. Sign on the dotted line. Be committed. You give somebody your word. What is someone's word worth today? In some cases, I'm sorry to say that it really doesn't mean, oh, I'll be there. You know, I don't know how you were brought up, but I was brought up this way. If you said you were going to be there, you're there unless you're in the hospital or really sick. Oh, I'll be there, or I'll do that. And, you know, I'm just trying to say tonight that we know the Lord is soon returning. There is no time to lose, so let's be more committed for the cause of Christ. And so, if you will, if you take notes, would you jot some things down tonight? Number one, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Because the Lord is returning, I'd like to submit to you, number one, we need to be more committed to assemble. We need to be more committed to assemble. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, the Bible says there, if I can find it, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's our assemble tonight, as I'm saying. Committed to assemble, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And let's read, you don't have to read "and," but let's read the next four words. Ready? So much the more. Let's try that again. So much the more. Does that mean less? Does that mean we should assemble less? Yes or no? No. So much the more. When? Or when do we do this so much the more? Notice the next. As ye see the day approaching. That's the day we've been talking about the last several Wednesday nights. The coming of the Lord. And so as we believe that the Lord is soon returning, then we see here that we need a commitment to assemble even more. It could be in a church service that we could assemble, like you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. And to God be the glory. I believe tonight that if it got down to it, that you were physically able and you made the choice to be in church tonight and you had a decision to make, I want to encourage you. You made the right decision. If someone decided, who is completely physically able, someone decided to sit at home tonight who knows the Lord, I want to say they made the wrong decision. And they're not looking for the return of Christ. Hello? It says so much the more. It doesn't matter that it's a Wednesday night. If the local church that you're a part of is having a meeting on Friday morning and you're able to be there. Now you say, I work on Friday morning. I'm not saying call off work, but if you're able to be there at Friday at 11:30, let's go. If it's at 1 a.m., you have the meeting. I'll pray for you. Just kidding. The point is this, I don't understand Christians who don't want to get together with other Christians. It's really quiet tonight. I guess I'm on me and you on an island, Brother Barry. I don't understand Christians who make a choice to sit out of church. I don't understand, I'm talking about a choice, okay? I'm not talking about Mrs. Mitch in the hospital bed or somebody, I'm talking about somebody that made a choice tonight, physically able and sat at home. I don't understand that. When the Bible says if we're seeing the day approaching, we need to be committed to assemble more and more and more. Faithfulness in the local church is directly linked to the return of Christ. There should be an increase, not a decrease. Turn with me to the next to the last book of the Bible, the book of Jude, please. The book of Jude. Many in our day have come to the conclusion that the local church is not that important. I hope that's not you, and I don't think it is. You're here on a Wednesday night, and I'm not sorry, but please pray for me. Please pray for me that there would never be a place and a time in my life where I would be less committed to the cause of Christ, that I would be more committed to the cause of Christ. Say, well, Pastor, you're not talking to me. I'm here on a Wednesday night. Look, all of us need to be more committed. I'm not saying point fingers at people. I'm just really sharing my heart with you that we know the Lord is returning, and we know that God is worthy of our faithfulness. And yes, He is. Look at Jude 18. The Bible says there in Jude verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. I've heard a lot of mockers in these days. Who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Notice that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy, building up yourselves. One way the local church helps us is it builds us up in the goodness of God. It should be helping us tear off the things of the world, but it should be building us up. By attending church faithfully, we are being helped to keep our hearts anchored to the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. In a day in which truth is being thrown away completely. By the way, you know who I hurt for the most? It's the 10-year-olds and under in this room tonight. And the other ones that I hurt for are the ones that are sitting at home because their parents are at home. Now, please, I'm trying to come to you in the best spirit I can tonight. But I will fight for those 10-year-olds and under and 12-year-olds and under. I'm just saying, look, you think that truth is under attack now? Wait 20 more years should the Lord tarry his coming. It's not going to get any easier. All the more reason why we must stay close to the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the church as it holds up the word of God. I'm not talking about the apostate church. I'm not talking about a church that preaches error. I'm talking about Anchor Baptist Church. While it's not perfect, she is holding high the word of God. Stay close to the pillar and ground of the truth. When we add a sincere and obedient heart to our faithful church attendance, do you know what we get? We get this: God's Spirit beginning to change our lives. You realize you can come to church every time the doors are open and get no change. Because if you come with a hard heart every time, unwilling to be challenged by the Holy Spirit of God, it doesn't matter how many times you go to church in a calendar year. If your heart is not right, you're not going to get what God has for you to get or for me to get. Let's let the Lord do a great work in our hearts. So committed to assemble. Our decisions will be based more on the eternal than on the temporal when we let God work in our heart. Our focus will be on God's will, not mine. Talking to someone the other night that said, this individual said, I want you to pray for this. But he said, I want you to pray that God's will be done. That's a great way to go about praying, isn't it? Boy, do we ever need to be in the center of the will of God? Yes. I want to be there. I hope I'm there. I'm not saying I've arrived. The local church should also provide encouragement to love and serve. Did you see that word provoke? Back there in Hebrews, it means incitement and it means irritation. It has a little bit of a negative connotation when you think about it. You're not supposed to provoke your children. A father's provoke not your children to wrath. But here God says, here the Bible says that we're to provoke, we're to incite, we're to irritate. In other words, I am to incite my brothers and sisters to be faithful to the Lord. You are to incite me to be faithful to the Lord. Our attendance and our faithfulness amongst one another helps challenge and encourage one another to be committed to assemble. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Secondly, as we think about the Lord soon returning, we must be committed to proclaim the truth. Committed to proclaim the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The Apostle Paul is sitting in the Mamertine prison. It wasn't a prison like we might think of today. A dungeon-type prison. He's sitting in that prison and he's writing to his convert, his young son in the faith, if you will, the young preacher Timothy. Can you imagine? He's sitting in prison and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Stay at it, Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season, Timothy. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, long suffering. Just stay at it. Keep at it. Keep preaching the truth. Challenge is still in place today for everyone that stands behind this pulpit, a teacher, a preacher, or in a Sunday school class, to continue to preach the Word of God. It is not the opinions of the pastor that anybody needs. It is the Word of God that you need. It is not the opinions of the Sunday school teacher in any class. The children don't need it. The adults don't need it. The teens, the college and career, what do they need? They need the Word of God. Preaching and teaching that magnifies Jesus Christ. Preaching and teaching that aims at the heart of the individual. For the Bible says that it's the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need preaching and teaching that is not concerned with being politically correct. We need preaching and teaching that remains true to the actual text. Amen? Textual preaching, we need to remain in that. Preaching and teaching that will make you uncomfortable sometimes and me uncomfortable sometimes. That is the kind of preaching that we need. As we look into the coming of the Lord, we must be committed to truth. Howard Hendricks said this: in the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. It's not to make fun of someone who has a speech problem, by the way. What it's saying is we don't need to stutter. This is no time to back down from the truths of the Word of God. We can give them compassionately, but we ought to be giving them boldly as God gives us opportunities. D.L. Moody was asked to share the secret to his success. He said, "For many years, I have never given an address without being conscious that the Lord may come before I have finished." How about we think about that? You say, "Well, I'm not going to be preaching any sermons." Okay, the Lord may come before the end of this day. How's that going to change the way you talk that day? How's that going to change what you think about and I think about that day? We get up in the morning. That could be the day the Lord comes. Before the end of the day, it should motivate us to be men and women of truth, committed to proclaim the truth. Would you please pray for the pastor, that he will be committed to always proclaiming the truth. Whether it makes you happy or the other person happy, or makes you sad or makes you angry or mad, that should not be the determining factor of what's preached. It should be the truth of the Word of God. Yes, done in a spirit that God would give us to give it in, but the thing that we're seeing in this day and age is the pulpits are caving in and not preaching the truth. And the only one I'm concerned about is this one. Please pray for the pulpit of this church that it would continue to preach the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unashamedly. Then number three, not only committed to assemble, committed to proclaim the truth, but I believe number three, we must remain or be more committed to sharing the gospel. Turn to Mark 16 and 15, please. Many of you could quote it. You see here the last command of the Lord Jesus Christ. should be our highest priority. Mark 16 and 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go ye. There's got to be some action involved. Going involves action. Going involves a concern. Every creature. That means no one is beyond giving the gospel to. Let's go back to Jude 21 as we consider this thought of giving the gospel. Jude 21, we were in there just a moment ago. Committed to giving the gospel. Committed to sharing the gospel. Again, think about it. If we believe that those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will spend eternity in hell, then I think we must be more committed to sharing the gospel. If we believe that someone in our neighborhood is going to die someday, or the Christ will come back and they're going to be go out into eternity, there's going to either go to heaven or hell, then we should be more committed to somehow sharing the gospel. It only makes sense if we believe in the second coming, we believe in heaven and hell, we believe someone's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and then others are going to be at the great white throne, that we would want to find, we don't know who those are, so we just share the gospel with everybody. And I'm talking to the pastor right now. Look what it says in Jude 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion." Making a difference. "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. As Christ's return becomes more of a reality in my life, I will do everything I can to communicate with others the message of the gospel." Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 19. I never saw quite this till today. It says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Where do we find joy? Where do we find our crown of rejoicing? Maybe you've caught this before. I didn't quite catch it. Then he says, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when? At his coming." I believe Paul's talking about people that he shared the gospel to that got saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You know what's going to be joyful? Someday it's going to be joyful when we see people in heaven from Uruguay, because we took money and put it in the offering to Faith Promise Missions, and we sent money to the Paulicians to go to Uruguay, and we'll meet people from Uruguay for the first time because they got saved under the ministry of the Paulician family. And you could say that about every one of our missionaries as we give into the Faith Promise Missions giving, and the money goes out, and it's been going out for over 18 years now, all over the world, in Canada, all over the world. Who knows how many people? And it's not about the number, it's about that, about what he said there. What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? What is it? Seeing people in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing those Africans in the presence, seeing those Latinos in the presence, seeing the Asians in the presence, seeing former Muslims in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing people that we invited to church. Now, it's not just giving in the offering, it's us going as well. Seeing people that we didn't even know that we left a track and they picked it up off the bus stop and they got saved and we never knew about it, but we'll see them in the presence of the Lord. See, if we really believe in the second coming, if we really believe in heaven and hell, I'm telling you, it will motivate us to be more committed to sharing the gospel. But not only that, the last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, has to do with the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. We need to be committed to remember. The Lord is soon returning. We need to remember Calvary. We need to remember the sacrifice of Christ. As we have the Lord's table here at Anchor Baptist Church, Jesus said when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this do, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me, verse 24. Verse 25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We need to be committed to remembering. Let us not get past the fact that we deserve hell. Let us never get past the fact that we do not deserve one breath in heaven ever. We don't deserve it. We deserve to spend eternity in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels, but by the grace and mercy of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the picture of Calvary, and we see the gruesome scene there, and we see him being laid in the tomb, and we see the tomb being empty, praise God, that we can have great hope and great joy in the fact that remembering all that God has done for us, never getting beyond it, never getting past it, and never thinking for a moment we deserved heaven. No, we did not. We deserved hell. Oh, the grace that found me. Oh, the love that found me. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, don't let this old wicked world get us for forgetting what Jesus did for us. Oh, if we could only get a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if only we could bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, if only we could honor God by being faithful to his house and faithful to his word and faithful to proclaim truth. Oh, if only. These are all things that we're talking about here tonight, that we need a level of commitment because God is worthy. God is worthy of my faithfulness, like we talked about on Sunday. Oh, I keep thinking about that. We are all faithful, but to whom are we faithful? Oh, God is worthy of our faithfulness. God is worthy of our commitment. It's a challenge us to be more like Christ. Are you committed tonight? Are you committed in these areas? Biblical prophecy, secondly, should challenge me to be more like Christ in two ways. I'll give you these. Jot these down quickly. Number one, biblical prophecy should challenge me to move further and further away from this world system. You'll jot down this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 1 to 4. It talks there about a falling away. The term falling away there comes from the Greek apostasia. You obviously know what the English word for that is, apostasy. Churches today that once stood for truth are caving in to include all religions. This is called pluralism. In other words, let's just hold hands with everybody. Look, we're not holding hands with people that don't preach the Word of God. We're not holding hands with other congregations that believe you can be saved any other way but by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to hold hands with them. We are biblicists. Amen? We are. In case you've forgotten that, that's what we are. We follow the Word of God. I love the name Baptist. I'm for it. But we're a biblicist. And so I don't believe that in these days we need to be caving in to the society that says, well, why don't you go and just work together with all these churches? Because those churches don't even believe I can go to heaven. I'm not going to work with a church that doesn't teach you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, that you're not going to know unless your scales balance out some way or the other. That's not in the Word of God. As we dwell on Christ's return, we are given the courage we need to separate from this world system. Oh, by the way, the world system is just setting it up for the Antichrist. Everybody holding hands and singing kumbaya together, the Antichrist is just going to come in. It's setting up for it. This is why I'm saying this is no time to cave into this world system. No, distance ourselves from the world system. But secondly, it should also challenge me to move further and further away from the sin of this world. Not only the system of this world, but the sin of this world. 1 John 2. Quickly go there. 1 John 2. The Bible says in verse 28, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, 1 John 2, 28. Thank you for turning there. That when he shall appear, we may have, what's the next word? Confidence. Do we know when the Lord is going to appear? No, we don't know. No man knoweth the hour. We don't know when he's going to appear. John says here that there's a that we can have confidence, and notice what he says, and not be what? Ashamed. What a difference between confidence and ashamed. Head down, caught with a hand in the cookie jar. Confidence or ashamed at his coming? How do you have that confidence? Abide in him. You can't abide in him and be abiding and practicing sin at the same time. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but you don't have the victory that God wants us to have. It is imperative that we be on the alert every day. 1 Peter 4:7, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober." That word sober there means of sound mind, self-control. You know that this flesh left to itself is a mess, right? If we're not abiding in the vine, we are a mess. If we're not on a daily basis being purified by the Word of God, we're a mess. Separation from sin frees me to live set apart for God's glory. Here's a passage to write down, Titus 2:11-13. I want to encourage us tonight in urgency to move away from sin. Romans 12:13, the Bible says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." What is there in your life tonight, Christian, that is a work of darkness? Could just be an unforgiving spirit. That's not of the Lord. It could be bitterness. That's not of the Lord. It could be complacency. That's not of the Lord. It could be worry. That's not of the Lord. Cast it off tonight. Instead, put on the armor of light. Why? Because we know the Lord's coming. Stop allowing sin to rule in our lives and start allowing the Spirit of God to fill us for His worthy of our commitment, and he's worthy of our becoming more identified and looking like him.